Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Awardist, where we have been chatting with the actors, creators, and more who are contenders this year and breaking down the state of the 2024 Oscars race. And now the time has come. I'm Entertainment Weekly executive editor Jared Hall, and joining me is EW's Oscars expert Joey Nolfi. Hello, hello, for one final time this Oscars season.
Yeah, you think you can get rid of me that easy?
Well, I can, but that's a different story. No, I'm kidding.
No, Oppenheimer's about to get rid of me because it's going to win Best Picture, Jared.
And Robert Downey Jr., after what you said at the end of last week's episode, my gosh.
Yeah, he's
going to
get me too.
You were like trying to line up the hits on you, which is, that's what I meant. I could line up you. I don't have mafia ties. I'm totally kidding.
I know. I'm the Italian on this podcast.
You do, though. Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, as I alluded to, we are, of course, at the end of the season. Voting is over after 20 episodes, 5 months this season of the Awardist podcast. It is finally time. So, folks, grab your ballots because we are going to dish out our Oscar winner predictions in all 23 categories. We won't go in depth on all of them, just on a handful. But before we get to all of that, Joey, the annual tradition here at Entertainment Weekly, it has been happening for, I don't know, centuries at this point. The secret ballot.
Yes.
Ooh,
yes.
Sound effects. The people are curious. They are perking up. Mm-hmm. You spoke with 4 Academy voters this year, a director, a writer, an actress, and a marketer. What is your big takeaway, the big headline here from what they had to tell you?
Oh, so the big headline for me, well, I don't know if we want to call it a headline, but the consistency thing is, I believe they all but one of them. Oh, no, actually, okay, we were evenly split between American Fiction and Oppenheimer for Best Picture. So 2 went for Oppenheimer, 2 went for American Fiction, but they also did what our secret balloters, some of them did last year, was they're actually abstaining from voting. And I think we got a really good, for some of the ranked 1 through 10. Mm-hmm. So our director abstained for votes 6 through 10, and then our writer abstained from votes 5 through 10. Now, they're for 2 very different reasons. The director said that they did not like a lot of the films that were nominated, but then the writer didn't see anything other than Oppenheimer, Barbie, The Holdovers, and Maestro, and strategically put Maestro at number 4 below The Holdovers, and then abstained from everything else so that Maestro would to sort of game the preferential ballot, which I don't know if the math works out on that. That's the way that you should do it, but that is why that person. I'm being very careful to use the correct pronouns to not reveal the gender of these people. So, it's insightful because, and I know that there was a lot of discussion about our secret ballot last year and some of the things that were in that. And again, in this year, I'm anticipating there being some chatter over what is said in this one as well. But I think the reason that it's kind of frustrating to see that, because I think the importance of doing this is so that we can show people, this is who is voting for these movies. This is who is, and I'm not saying that anybody this year,
the intent is not necessarily to expose people, but it is to say, look, everyone doesn't watch everything.
Right.
Maybe we need some new rules on that kind of stuff.
That's what I'm saying, is that this shows you the kind of thought process that actually does go, whether you agree with it or not, this is who is voting. And this is what the Academy, this is, you know, who is selecting the winners that may, and you know, sometimes it's maybe not that serious to them. Now, that's not to excuse some of the problematic things that were said in last year's secret ballot, which were shocking, but that is also important, I think, to highlight, is that this is who is in the Academy. This is who is voting. It's not to side with these things. This is what journalism is. We're showing you what is out there. So, and this one is very...
We are asking the questions and relaying the information.
Exactly. And the other thing that surprised me here is that there seems to be a lot of love for Jeffrey Wright's performance. Not saying that he gave a bad performance and that's why it surprises me. It surprises me because the narrative seems to be that Killian, it's between Killian and Paul. And maybe it's one of those things that's happening under the surface where it's actually Jeffrey versus Killian for the Oscar, because I think Paul's pretty much out at this point after Killian won at SAG and BAFTA. So, That was also very surprising. But then, I mean, they also, I specifically asked them all if they felt that, you know, Greta and Margot were snubbed. I think two of them said that they did feel like it was a snub. And then two were like, yeah, no, that's silly. The one actually called it a clickbait way of explaining what happened with the exactly what we're talking about, like the international sect of the best director or the director branch. That is what they voted for, the film that they liked and not for the person's gender. So, you know, this is what this is, the we're trying to get to the, you know, the bottom of how these Academy members are thinking and showing that to people. So
correct me if I'm not remembering correctly, but one of the it might be the director, their choice for director was Jonathan Glazer.
Yes.
And largely because of what you just mentioned, the international membership of the Academy, right?
Yes. So let me just read what the director said about their pick. To me, this category, even though it's probably going to be Christopher Nolan, it belongs to Jonathan Glazer. The techniques they used, how it was shot, the storytelling was so incredible. I didn't even know that they stashed hidden cameras for all of the techniques they used in making that. After I read all that, I watched it again and liked it even more. The incredible use of storytelling techniques to have the horrors be sounds off camera. It was beautiful filmmaking. So, I mean, there you go. And, you know, this person also said for the nominations, I usually do something insane. A Zone of Interest was on there, and then I just went for all the women. I try to fill it with all female directors.
Yeah. Which, I mean, good for them. Like, there were some great films this year directed by women. So there you go.
Yes.
Last year we had some shocking statements. Any that stand out to you this year as like, oh damn, I can't believe they told me that.
Yes.
So, okay.
Also the director, speaking of Poor Things, which this director told me that they hated Poor Things, which shocked me. So this is what they had to say. Emma Stone did make her character Bella seem vacant and then grew into, while there was that close-up of her face while somebody was taking her from behind repeatedly, you did see some maturity. You really saw her transition from baby into an adult in the whorehouse where she really came into her own.
And that same director, though, felt weird about just all of the sex in the film, right? Because this character who we met as a quote unquote baby and all of the sex involved with a quote unquote baby. By that time she was not really of the baby mentality anymore. But
so the exact quote is, I feel like it was trying to make this comment on misogyny, but it ended up doing misogyny for like 3 hours. Watching all these men wanting to bleep Emma Stone, who was a baby in a woman's body, was really uncomfortable. There's no denying it was beautiful filmmaking. I just couldn't get around the men wanting to F a baby.
I mean, it's an interesting perspective and thought, and I will not deny them their feelings about watching the film.
Oh, I sparred with this director on this playfully, not in like a real, you know, we were, I was like, okay, yeah, no, that's not how I saw this film, but
no,
it was a good conversation.
Well, and that's what we're looking for here. People to really like give their thoughts on these things.
Yeah.
So of course I highly encourage folks to check that out at EW.com. If you've not already, these things usually kind of make a little bit of a splash, so it's very possible you have read this already. All right, so now the big moment. Predictions in all 23 categories. We're going to go through some of these, then we'll take a break, then we'll come back for more. So, Joey, let's start with the supporting acting categories, kicking it off with supporting actor, where the nominees are Sterling K. Brown for American Fiction, Robert De Niro for Killers of the Flower Moon, Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer, Ryan Gosling for Barbie, and Mark Ruffalo for Poor Things. I think we know who's going to win this.
Yeah. Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer.
Yep. Ding, ding. I mean, I don't really know what there's left to say. I mean, he has given really fun, memorable speeches all season.
Sure.
His performance, I mean, he does solid work.
Well, speaking of solid work, Doolittle is now streaming for free on Freevee.
Oh,
So
that was an unexpected aside, but sure. There you go. All right. All right. Look, I mean, this is a guy who we know he's an incredibly talented actor, and he delivers solid work here. I'm not surprised that people have latched onto his work. And
you're not.
I think there's a real like, this is your moment. Sentimentality here. Sentiment here.
There is.
You don't think
I'm trying to be Kristen Wiig in Bridesmaids.
Oh, you do.
You do.
Yeah. I have nothing else to say on this. I have said it all. The beginning to the end of my Oscar season nightmare this year.
Well, congratulations in advance to Robert Downey. Let's talk about supporting actress nominees: Emily Blunt for Oppenheimer, Danielle Brooks for The Color Purple, America Ferrera for Barbie, Jodie Foster for Naiad, who someone in the secret ballot chose to win.
Yeah,
and predicted winner. We all know she's going to take this one home. Davine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers. I mean, I'd be shocked if anyone else took it.
That's not going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. And very well deserved to her. She's just wow. The beating heart of this film and is just so incredible.
She has not lost a single thing.
No.
This entire season. So,
which is quite rare.
Yeah. So if she loses, it will be, I think, probably unprecedented in the history of the Oscars that for someone to have this kind in the era of precursors, at least, mm-hmm. Have this kind of track record and then lose. So she is. This is probably, I think, the safest bet of the entire Oscars would be this mm-hmm. one. And I don't know. I did like that one of our secret ballers chose Danielle Brooks, too. It was nice to see her get some recognition, because I think out of these performances, I think Danielle's is the technical best performance. But Davine is right up there
with her. I don't disagree. Yeah, I don't disagree with you. Quick little question here.
Yeah.
I'm curious your hot take on... How do you feel about the fact that Davine's been reading her speeches from paper?
I don't mind
it.
No, okay. Not at all. I think that's probably what I'd do. I think that shows a sign of respect for who she wants to thank. And she wants to make sure she gets it right. So I like that. I think that she is doing exactly what she wants to do on her terms. And she's not going to, just because, you know, she probably has people in her ear that are saying, like, don't take that piece of paper up there. And I'm like, no, that's good.
Yeah.
She wants to make sure.
And that's why I asked, because inside the room at a few of the ceremonies, the tables I've been at, I it's been kind of split. Some people saying like, oh no, a piece of paper. And then others saying, oh my God, are you kidding? I would completely like forget everyone I'm supposed to thank.
Jared, you need to hang out with new people.
They have all been different people at all these shows, but it's really interesting how it's all been. I've been hearing the same thing at these ceremonies. Oh no, paper. No, are you kidding? I'd have to write it down. So it doesn't bug me at all. Because I would forget names. All right, moving on to let's tackle the screenplay categories, starting with original screenplay. The nominees are Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Maestro, May, December, and Past Lives.
Ooh, part two of my nightmare
category.
It is
I mean, no, I feel like there are three of the five that could definitely go to any three of them, but Momentum is saying
Anatomy of a Fall for sure. Yep. There's no way it's this is another safe bet. This is where they're gonna award that film. It's probably not gonna win anything else, but I would say slight chance, prepare for maybe The Holdovers to take it here. I could see that happening. I think it's pretty safe to say May, December is not going to get it. And Maestro is, I am still shocked that Maestro is in this category. Past Lives, I want to say it's in there, but there doesn't seem to be as much passion for Past Lives as I think maybe we were initially assuming.
Yeah.
Because it's got a lot of nominations this year, but not a lot of wins.
Right. A lot of nominations. It won at the Spirit Awards Best Feature and Celine Song for Director. I early in 2023 thought, oh, this one is going to be a strong contender for original screenplay. And it was, and it's here. Deservedly so. It's incredible.
That's my personal winner, I think, in this category. But
agree. Adapted screenplay. The nominees: American Fiction, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, The Zone of Interest. Something really interesting has been happening here in the final stretch for this category.
I'm very torn on this one. This one I'm not confident in at all. I also think Oppenheimer's script was a little, it was probably one of its weaker points too, but it's winning things. And, but you also have the, maybe Barbie's probably not going to win anything other than maybe this category. So, or I'm sorry, best original song, it'll win. I keep saying that and you keep reminding me. No, it's
going to win. Don't forget. Else. Yeah.
We could see Barbie maybe win here. I'm going for American Fiction right now because I think that people, when they're voting for this, they're thinking more along the lines of story and what story the film was telling. And I think most Academy voters are going to vote for what American Fiction was very overtly and not very subtly trying to say with its story. So that feels like the safest bet for me at this point. But it could be any one of those three: American Fiction, Barbie, or Oppenheimer.
Yeah, I mean, Cord Jefferson has picked up a few awards as of late. He won the BAFTA. He won the Spirit Award. There was also, not that it has really much relevance to the Oscars, but the USC Scripter Award. But important to note, because it's just another headline that's out there that, you know, this guy won an award for his screenplay. So, but I think I'm giving it to American Fiction as well. But I won't be surprised if Barbie or Oppenheimer take that one. All right, moving on to, let's tackle the documentary categories. This we got a string of these coming up where I'm just going to name the nominees and you tell me who wins. For documentary feature, the nominees are Bobby Wine, The People's President, The Eternal Memory, Four Daughters, To Kill a Tiger, 20 Days in Mariupol.
I think it's going to be 20 Days in Mariupol.
Okay, moving on to documentary short. The ABCs of Book Banning, The Barber of Little Rock, Island in Between, The Last Repair Shop, Nai Nai, and Why Po.
So with this one, the rule for the shorts is usually just pick the one with the most interesting name or the most political name. No, I'm not kidding. That's like what Oscar.
No, I know.
Like that's usually, like the shorts. Jared, I've been very open about this. I have no clue what is ever going to win a short category. So I'm going with the ABCs of Book Banning.
Okay. Next up, live action short. The nominees are The After, Invincible, Night of Fortune, Red, White, and Blue, The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar.
Because it is the longest, we're going to go with The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar.
It's also Wes Anderson. So, fun fact, that's true. That is actually, Asteroid.
Yeah. You know what? That is the one time, the short category that when I was looking into it, I was like, okay, the Wes Anderson one's winning.
Yeah. And he didn't get any nominations for Asteroid City. So maybe this is where they say, here you go. Next up, animated short. The nominees are Letter to a Pig, 95 Senses, Our Uniform, Pachyderm, War is Over, inspired by the music of John and Yoko.
So this one I'm going, well, I was on War is Over just because, I mean, I think when people are voting for this, they're going to see John and Yoko and be like, oh yeah, I know them, and then vote for that. Mm-hmm. But I feel like Letter to a Pig in looking into this one is a strong contender too. It's going to be one of those two. So Letter to a Pig, I'm predicting right now.
Stop talking.
I didn't call you anything.
Okay. next up, animated feature. This year's nominees are The Boy and the Heron, Elemental, Nimona, Robot Dreams, and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Your winner?
I was on Boy and the Heron for the longest time. It still could potentially win, but I switched to Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse just because I think they're going to do the thing that they always do again, and just they're going to go down. They're going to be like, oh, Spider-Man, I know that, and then check that.
Got it. Fair enough. Let's talk about production design. The nominees are Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. I know I said we weren't going to do much discussion here, but I might disagree with you on this one, but I'm probably wrong.
I mean, I'm torn between Barbie and Poor Things. Like, I could probably switch again before Sunday, but I mean, right now I'm going with Poor Things just because it's so just weird and out there. And when you think of that movie, you think of the fantastical aesthetic, but Barbie is still very much in that race.
Yeah. Agree. And for what it's worth, Poor Things, I think it is the whole of the film. While there's a lot of great stuff in Barbie, I feel like some of it's, you know, just segments,
sectioned
like just
off.
Kind of the Barbie land stuff. And once you're in the real world, is what it is. Okay, next, Sound, which last year, 2 years ago, got combined. There were two different categories. We have just one now, where the nominees are The Creator, Maestro, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, Oppenheimer, and The Zone of Interest.
Oppenheimer, next category.
Yeah. I mean, when I watched that movie, I said, oh, this is the sound winner. And visual effects, the nominees, The Creator, Godzilla Minus One, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1, and Napoleon.
You know what? We're going to go with Godzilla Minus One here, because I think that's another one where people are just like, it feels like a smaller movie, even though it's a Godzilla movie that people are like kind of rooting for. So, yeah, we're going to go with that one.
Yeah. And those nominees, they were having the best time at the nominees luncheon, I just got to say.
Yeah. Yeah. I love their little video from nominations morning, too. It was so cute.
Yeah. Yeah. They're great. All right. So as I mentioned, we're going to take a break. We're going to do that now. When we come back, we will dive into the remaining handful of categories. So don't go anywhere. The awardist will be right back. Welcome back to The Awardist. We are dishing out our predictions for this Sunday's Oscars. Joey Nolfi joining me here. We've already gone through a handful of categories, about half of them. We have the other half left. So, Joey, kicking off this block here, let's talk about Best Original Song, where the nominees are The Fire Inside from Flamin' Hot. The nominee, the writer there is Diane Warren. I'm Just Ken from Barbie, music and lyrics by Mark Ronson and Andrew Wyatt, will be performed indeed by Ryan Gosling at the Oscars. I wonder if there are going to be surprises here. Do we bring other people named Ken on stage? I don't know. We'll see. Next up, It Never Went Away from American Symphony, music and lyrics by John Batiste and Dan Wilson. Wizazi, A Song for My People from Killers of the Flower Moon, music and lyrics by Scott George. And then we have What Was I Made For, also from Barbie, music and lyrics by Billie Eilish and Phineas O'Connell. Okay, what I'm saying is, like, what do you do to have fun with I'm Just Ken during that performance of it? Bring other people named Ken on stage. Kenneth Branagh, Ken Jennings, Ken Jeong, I don't know.
The first person that came to my mind was Ken Loach, and I was like...
No. That's an interesting... immediate, you know, word association.
Oh my God, Ken Loach. Yes, Jared, let it be known on the Awardist podcast, Jared wants to see Ken Loach come out and dance.
You said it, not me.
No, Jared.
That was your choice.
No, Jared, that's you.
No, people can tell our voices apart. But I think we know the winner here, right?
I think it's going to be What Was I Made For. However,
mm-hmm.
I think if you're going to do a No Guts, No Glory prediction, I would predict I'm Just Ken from Barbie.
This is the category to do
this
it in?
This is the category to do it. I think if you're going to do No Guts, No Glory, do I'm Just Ken, because I think there is a shot. But for right now, I'm playing it vanilla and sticking with What Was I Made For.
What's your feeling behind that? What's just a little
name recognition for the song? I think there's a lot of pop culture excitement from it. It's probably the scene that gets talked about the most outside of that monologue that the director also had an issue with. I think that that's probably why.
Okay, let's talk about, we'll stick with the music theme here. Original score, nominees, American Fiction, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, Poor Things. Your pick?
Okay, Jared, don't fall over. I'm gonna tell you, there is one thing that I like about Oppenheimer, and it's the score. The score is sublime.
It is great.
It is so good. So I think that it's going to win here too. Like, you listen to that score and you just get chills. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great stuff. All right. Makeup and hairstyling. The nominees, Golda, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, Society of the Snow.
I think it's going to be Maestro. And if we remember, there was a lot of controversy about Bradley Cooper's prosthetic nose here. And I think Golda also got some, there were some people talking about the Helen Mirren's transformation there too. So I think it's between those two. But right now I'm going with Maestro, just because Kazuhiro is just, you know, an icon at this point. So I think that's going to win.
Okay. Next up, costumes, Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things.
This is another tough one that I see a lot of people saying between Barbie and Poor Things. I'm going to go with Poor Things now, like, because just like I said, again, it's like this fantastical kind of otherworldly thing that seems like a more of a departure from what we usually see. And the Barbie feels more of like a curated collection of clothes versus maybe a creation. So I think that Poor Things is the winner here.
Okay. Cinematography, El Conde, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Poor Things.
Okay. I'll say something else nice about Oppenheimer. The cinematography is great. It's good cinematography. Great. It's great cinematography. And I think that, you know, he's been winning so far. So, yeah, Oppenheimer.
Yep. Makes sense for that one. Okay. Up next is the all important editing. Not that these others aren't important, but this one often gives a little indication where things might go. The nominees, Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things.
I think that Oppenheimer is going to make history as the first completely unedited film in the history of the Oscars to win Best Editing. So it will make history at the 96th Academy Awards.
Oh, God. You're brutal. Unedited.
I killed Jared.
Jesus.
Yeah, it is the first film that that an editor did not touch in at all that will win Best Film Editing. Breaking records.
You're so shady. Moving on to international feature. Oh boy. The nominees are Il Capitano from Italy, Perfect Days from Japan, Society of the Snow from Spain, The Teacher's Lounge from Germany, and The Zone of Interest from the United Kingdom.
It's definitely going to be Zone of Interest. There was enough support for it here, pushing it into Best Picture and Best Director. Like, it's hands down going to win. But also, can I just give a shout out to Perfect Days? What a lovely, lovely film. That movie is so sweet. It's so good. It just, I urge everybody to go out and see that movie. It will blow you away.
It's great. And I also, one of my favorites from last year was Society of the Snow. So I was very happy to see them get in here. Oh my gosh. It is. Oh, Joey.
Our actress really liked it from Secret Ballot. She was really talking it up. So maybe I'll have to, it's Netflix, right?
It is Netflix.
Okay. So I'm going to have to watch it. Maybe I'll watch it this weekend.
All right. Moving on to, we're up to the final four. Let's talk about Best Actor. The nominees are Bradley Cooper for Maestro, Colman Domingo for Rustin, Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers, Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer, and Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction. You alluded to a little bit with the secret ballot that there's a lot of sentiment for Jeffrey Wright, but also you mentioned there Colman Domingo. There's a lot of people who really love this guy. I don't know that it's going to translate to a win by any means.
No, it definitely
not this
won't.
Year anyway.
Yes, I think Colman is building. I think we'll see him win an Oscar someday. Definitely not for this. Not first of all, because performance just isn't that good. Jeffrey, I think, is incredible. I think that realistically, Paul, Cillian, Jeffrey are the only ones that ever stood a shot in this. But Cillian has just built too much momentum and won the SAG Award right after the BAFTA and the key voting period for the Oscars. So people are definitely looking at that and thinking that they need to go. This is where the hive mind does come into play at this key point. I think this is the only time it really comes into play is when they start voting to what they think they're supposed to do versus what maybe they actually want to do.
Yep.
And when it's, you know, a tight race like this, this is when it happens. So.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, I failed to mention earlier that I'm asking you the who will win. I had asked you the who should win, does your opinion change here?
Oh, absolutely. I think Bradley Cooper should win in this category. Oh. Yeah.
And he was very early when we posted predictions. You had him
winning
months ago. And of course, as it always does, the season changes and we adjusted from there. All right, let's talk about Best Actress. Also one that's been on a little bit of a roller coaster lately. The nominees, Annette Bening, Naiad, Lily Gladstone, Killers of the Flower Moon, Sandra Ulla. There you go.
One more time.
I knew you were ready for it. Sandra Ulla for Anatomy of a Fall, Carrie Mulligan, Maestro, and Emma Stone for Poor Things.
What a race this has been. I think it's really narrowed between Lily and Emma in the past few months. The other three, sorry, Carrie, never really had a shot here. But there's a small chance Emma, I think, could still, overtake Lily, sort of maybe like how Olivia Colman did with Glenn Close a few years back.
Yeah.
But I think it's, again, Lily won at SAG and Emma won at BAFTA because Lily wasn't even nominated at BAFTA, which was really surprising. But they both won at the Globes. So really the only thing that you have pushing Lily over the edge is SAG, which is a pretty big indicator. And again, it happened in that voting window. So I think they're going to want to make history here and give it to Lily.
I'm curious your take at the SAG Awards when Jessica Chastain opened the envelope and she went, "Oh," and I grabbed the person standing next to me. I said, "It's Lily Gladstone." Yeah. And it was just about the reaction. Did you feel that coming?
I did not. I fully thought it was going to be Emma Stone, just because she is so much more familiar to the Screen Actors Guild, the more general voting base, and the fact that Lily won at SAG, that proves just how popular this performance actually is.
Yeah, and I loved Emma Stone's reaction to Lily winning. She might have been the first person out of her chair for her, just giving her a huge standing ovation. All right, we are down to Best Director. The nominees: Justine Triet for Anatomy of a Fall, Martin Scorsese, Killers of the Flower Moon, Christopher Nolan, Oppenheimer, Yorgos Lanthimos, Poor Things, and Jonathan Glazer, The Zone of Interest. I heard that sigh about Justine Triet and Anatomy of a Fall. You take it back.
I will never take that back. I will never take back groaning over Christopher Nolan winning for this. Can it just be over? Can it please just be over?
In a few days.
Please.
In a few days, my friend.
Please.
Yeah. But I do want to note here, though, going back to the secret ballot, Justine Triet's nomination, one of the four you spoke with, they again cited the international membership for that and said, stop underestimating them.
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing.
It's a very, very powerful. It's very strong. There in the Academy, they do screenings all over the world too. It's not like these people have to come to the US to see these movies. Right. So,
and by the way, look at the list of nominees. Only one of these directors is American.
Yeah, so, it's regularly a thing in this category is that very rarely, usually the American director is the odd person out in this category.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, the last one, the big one, the one that we don't really need to discuss much because I think we know who it's going to be. But just for fun, let me run through the list of nominees. American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, The Zone of Interest. And the Oscar goes to...
The Oscar goes to The Zone of Zero Interest, Oppenheimer.
Oh! Zone of Zero Interest in Oppenheimer, is that what you just said?
Yeah.
You were especially cruel today to this film.
Jared, this season has shaved 6 years off of my life. I mean, I'm only 19, so it's
really astounding.
I know.
How much you already know about Oscars at such a young age.
I know. It's rare. I'm a rare talent. And
rare is one word.
Yeah. A rare talent.
But look, I mean, here's what I think about this film. I think I enjoyed it because it's also just kind of a type of film that I like. I think it's very well made. I don't actually think it's Christopher Nolan's best film.
It is by far not his best film. I mean, I like some of his movies. I do. It just so happens that when he makes a movie that I hate it. Tenet was the worst movie of that year for me. Tenet was awful. This is awful. I loved Dunkirk.
Dunkirk is great.
Love Interstellar.
Interstellar.
The Inception. Dark Knight Rises. Oh my God. I think The Dark Knight Rises is better than The Dark Knight.
Oh.
I love interesting. The Dark Knight Rises. I think it is so good. I would actually probably say that, is that his best film?
I actually think his best film is Memento. It's at least my favorite.
I don't really like Memento that much either. I think that's a case again
the
where
Prestige
I say
The Prestige is also a really good movie.
The Prestige is good. I think he's not, I don't think he's a bad filmmaker. I think what happens is that, like the director said in our secret ballot, is that this director is done watching Christopher Nolan's rough cuts and that he needs an editor in there to bring him down from the Christopher Nolan cloud and say, look, you're making a movie that is supposed to be watchable and enjoyable to people, not a 3-hour bore. And he needs an editor. He needs someone he needs somebody to say no to him and not somebody to just feed his, grandiosity of the artist.
Yeah. I mean, that's absolutely a fair assessment of that situation.
Maybe it's not, because I'm clearly in the minority, because this thing is just sweeping this industry.
Well, there are a lot of people, though, who are not on board for this film winning. So in those regards, I think your opinion is not, you know, you're not alone in that thought. But that said, I always look forward to a Christopher Nolan film because I think he just does different things. That said, this is one that I don't feel was necessarily hard for him to make.
You could have stopped at necessary. I don't think it was necessary.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah. I mean, there are others who think that as well. Well, okay. So those are our predictions. Certainly hope they have helped in some way. If you're, you know, having a little Oscars viewing party and you've got ballots filled out and a little pool going on, we've certainly shared some hot takes here today. But hey, if you want more of them, like we said, be sure to check out the secret ballot for anonymous voters, sharing what they thought of this year's nominees. And they all seem to agree Oppenheimer is going to be the winner here for Best Picture. All right, Joey, as we close out the Oscar season, any final thoughts you'd like to share?
Well, talking about Oscar pools, I think, speaking of pools, I just would like to go submerge myself in one after this season.
For a nice long dip.
Yes.
For a just nice long dip. Just to bathe yourself. Wash yourself of all that. Yeah,
a nice hot spring, a nice, but I need to go relax for like a week. Yes.
And you know, soon enough we'll already be posting very early 2025 Oscar predictions. So
Jared, are you giving me a live assignment for the first time on this podcast? Well, thanks, Jared.
I am. We'll take a few weeks. Look, and Emmy season starts up. There's, you know, awards. It's a year round thing now. So we'll take a little bit of a breather from Oscars and come back in a few weeks as our 2024 Emmys coverage begins. And we have lots more coverage all this week on EW.com of this year's Oscars. And of course, be sure to check out our coverage of the big night, our best and worst moments. That's always fun to see what the EW staff think about this year's ceremony, which, worth mentioning, starts an hour earlier this year. That doesn't mean they added on an hour. It just means they moved up the entire thing. So it starts at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific. You know, it's like a 3-hour ceremony, maybe a little longer. But we will have you covered at EW.com. And with that, that is it for this week's episode of The Awardist, this Oscar season episode of The Awardist. Joey, as always, thank you so much for joining me and sharing your wild and crazy opinions.
Oh, that's how I love to be described, wild and crazy.
And thanks so much to all of you, by the way, for listening. If you like what you are hearing here on The Awardist, follow, rate the podcast, and leave us an award-winning review on Apple Podcasts. And to keep the conversation with us going, you can follow Entertainment Weekly on all socials. We are at EW on X, formerly known as Twitter, and at Entertainment Weekly everywhere else. You can also tag me at Jared Hall, and Joey is at Joey Nolfi. We will not see you back here next week. We're taking a few weeks off, as I said, and then we will be back for 2024 Emmys. That all starts in about a month, the beginning of April. So we will talk to you then, and we will see you every day at EW.com. Bye. This episode of The Awardist is hosted and produced by Jared Hall and produced and edited by Sammy Junio. Full episode transcripts are available at EW.com. Thanks for listening.